Hello and welcome to My Career in Data, a podcast where we discuss with industry leaders and experts how they have built their careers. I'm your host, Shannon Kemp, and today we're talking to Pragya Nayak from Hitachi Vantara Federal.
Visit dataversity.net and expand your knowledge with thousands of articles and blogs written by industry experts, plus free live and on-demand webinars covering the complete data management spectrum. While you're there, subscribe to the weekly newsletter so you'll never miss a beat.
Hello and welcome. My name is Shannon Kemp and I'm the Chief Digital Officer at Dataversity. And this is My Career in Data, a Dataversity Talks podcast dedicated to learning from those who have careers in data management, to understand how they got there and to talk with people who help make those careers a little bit easier. To keep up to date in the latest in data management education, go to dataversity.net/subscribe. Today, we are joined by Pragya Nayak, the Chief Data Scientist from Hitachi Vantara Federal. And normally this is where a podcast host would read a short bio of the guest, but in this podcast, your bio is what we're here to talk about. Pragya, hello and welcome.
Hello, Shannon. It's so nice to be here. Thank you for including me in this session.
Oh, I was so glad. As I was telling you, as we were getting set up, my heart was filled with warmth when I saw your name come through for the podcast, because we've known each other for a few years now, as you've been a speaker at our conferences and events. And I'm so excited to hear more of your story. I don't know how much we've actually had time to like dig into things. So I want to hear more about how you got this amazing title at this really cool company that has just exploded.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been quite a few years and we have worked together. I think one of my first few webinars was with Dataversity. So I'm always appreciative of that initial start in the speaking space from Dataversity. And I've always had fun with the events. So thank you for that. And I'm so glad to be back and talking to you, Shannon, again. In terms of the journey, it's been a joyride. It's been a transition from being a software developer, technical architect, onto data science, and so on to today, where I get to dabble with all different types of data and all the different challenges that come with it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so let's dive into it a little bit here. So you're the Chief Data Scientist at Hitachi Vantara Federal. So tell me, what type of business is Hitachi?
Hitachi Vantara Federal is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Fortune 500 Japanese company named Hitachi. And we are the Fukai mitigated arm of Hitachi. And by FOCI, we mean Foreign Ownership Control and Influence. That's the acronym, what it stands for. In order to business with the US federal government, when you have a parent company who is a foreign owned, you have to have that mitigation. So we are that arm which works with the federal government with the necessary separation so that our sensitive information is not exposed to the parent company. That being said, we primarily focus on products and services for the federal government. And those products and services are in the space of storage, AI infrastructure, data fabric and data mesh implementations, including, as you can imagine, analytics, machine learning, and in today's times, expanding on to the large language models, small language models, applications, as it is relevant to the federal government's different agencies and departments.
Oh, very, very cool. So as the Chief Data Scientist, what is it that you do?
As the Chief Data Scientist, what I get to do is understand the requirements, have those discussions with the customer, with the system integrators who work with the federal government in implementing the solutions, and helping them understand what our products can do, cannot do, or could be extended to do, the flexibility that comes with some of our products, helping them understand what can be fulfilled with and the level of effort that would be involved in doing so. So understanding the why of the customers, irrespective of whether they are the federal government itself or the agencies themselves or the systems integrators who work with the federal government in implementing the solutions and finding the fit of our solutions with them, and then helping with the proof of concept, the demos, understanding the integrated architecture with additional data products. As we all in the data space know, no one solution is that holy grail and can be the only solution. So you're figuring out the hooks and integrations with other products and doing the proof of concepts and proving things out.
Oh, yeah. It's so true. We keep hoping for that holy grail, but it's yet to emerge.
Someday, hopefully.
Okay, well, tell me, let's back it up a little bit. Let's back it up and tell me how well, actually, before we can even get into that, so tell me, and so you're talking a lot about data. I mean, your job is almost pure data, you know. So how are you using data for your job to make your job easier?
Using data for my job is also about looking at the different requirements of the customers and understanding, do they have even the right data? If they want to implement a solution, helping them understand, is the right data there? And what can be leveraged from those data sets and the different data elements within those data sets, helping understand that and doing that in a data-driven manner, making sure that we are delivering the solutions in the right time frame, etc. So that is where data comes into use for us. But definitely as part of the solution development for the customers, working with data, that's the key part of what I get to do.
Ah, oh, very, very, very cool. So tell me, was this a dream when you were just a little kid, say 6 years old? Was this a dream to say, I'm going to grow up and be a chief data scientist? Or what was the dream?
I don't think as a 6 year old, obviously that was not the goal, but I know when I was around my sixth grade, of course, that's when computer science education started taking over the classrooms. Even way I grew up in India, and around sixth grade is when we were first exposed to a class being specifically dedicated to computer education. So right from day one, I was hooked onto it. I was always looking forward to that specific class. It was my favorite subject. And then I think it aligned really well, considering that mathematics was one of my favorite subject back then. So it kind of was a natural transition to computer science, working with back then, working with basic programming language and getting things done with it. I mean, of course, today when we move forward to Java, C++ and Python, basic was very, very rudimentary back then. But even that was, I think that was the reason why I continued on that journey. And then over the years, as I got into my undergrad studies, which was computer science bachelor's, so got to delve a lot more into the specifics of it, as you can imagine, the doing the breaking the sweat and the tears, blood, sweat and tears being put into those studies. And then it's been a career in computer science, and which naturally led to data science. And that's where I'm today.
Oh my goodness. I love that. I love it when I'm always kind of a little envious of those who like have that, like just passion from the get-go. Like they know, like, this is what I want to do. This is where I'm going to go. And you just go for it. I was a lot more lost, I would say, when I was a kid. I was trying everything. And I'm like all over the place.
That's awesome as well.
But tell me, you know, so you get your degree in computer science. So what's your first job? What are you doing right out of college?
Right out of college, I got to work with, very interestingly enough, my first assignment was with a company back in India. I worked for a year before I decided to go on to my master's in computer science. So that 1 year, my customer was another Japanese company. And so it's been like a full circle when today I'm working for another Japanese company. So back then, got to work as a software developer, and it's very interesting because that project was in terms of developing a browser for cell phones. And this was around early 2000s when it was not that common for cell phones to have those capabilities. So it's very, very interesting looking back that what a cutting edge thing I got to work right out of college, and getting to delve with the software aspect and looking at the hardware aspect of it and doing that combination. It was amazing that I had such a great start and such a learning experience I had.
Oh, that's super cool. So where'd you go? So then you get your master's, and then
I
what?
did. I did my master's, and then I moved here to US, and I started working with CGI Federal as a software developer. And in this simultaneously on the side, I started working towards my PhD in computational sciences and informatics. So that means I was growing on my software development skills, people management, working with people, the whole software engineering experience with growing my data science and computational informatics skills on the side by side. And eventually, by the time I finished my PhD, I had transitioned into a full-scale data architect, technical architect position, which by, and this was around 2015 when the data science just exploded in the industry. There was a lot more interest, there's a lot more hype, if I may say so, and it has sustained over the years since.
Yeah, I love that you put an emphasis on not just the computer skills, but the people skills in your PhD.
Absolutely.
But tell me a little bit
Absolutely.
about that, and has that been, we talk about this a lot in the podcast, you know, just that communication and the ability to manage and is so important and communicate.
Absolutely. It's one of the key skills. I always say data science is about your learning acumen. You have to constantly keep learning. The field is still evolving. There's a lot to learn to grow. But equally, as you're working with people, your learning grows when you're working effectively with other people. But there's a lot of communication which needs to happen. How clearly are you putting your points across? The findings that you have as you're doing your data exercises, we as technical people can get into the weeds very quickly. And I've seen that become such a hassle when you're trying to communicate that to somebody who is not as into the weeds as you are as a developer or as a data scientist onto it. It's not necessarily somebody who is not a data scientist, but even somebody who is a data scientist can be lost because they are not, they have not been working with the data day in and day out that you're trying to convey the information about. So take the time to scale back,
Yeah.
have a story around it. Story always catches on, and the story doesn't have to be something funny and about your life, but have a story around what you're trying to convey, essentially. Yes, if you can map it to your life story or something from day-to-day life, the latest news, great. But if you cannot, but make sure you're conveying it in a simple, concise manner, which appeals to the other side, and they can go along the information that you're trying to convey with them, rather
Sure.
than losing them in part of the way behind you.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, so you've got these really cool skills. You got your PhD, and now you're an architect. So tell me about that job.
So, as part of the architect, yeah, I still get to be hands-on with the data, which I love. And that's something I definitely never want to change about my role. I love being able to work with different types of data. As you can imagine, early on, it was all about tabular data from databases, and then working with them. But over the years, now today, with the technology and the needs of the times and the evolving algorithms, there's a need to be able to not just connect those tabular data, but also with your open source data, the web information, social media information, as well as all these unstructured content which is out there, all the documents we are generating, that has so much rich information. Being able to connect the dots across all these variety of formats and the data being located in different places. It can be like we say it can be on premise, it can be in a cloud provider's location. How are you working across all these different locations of data, these different formats of data, but getting a cohesive integrated picture, getting that connected information out of the raw data that is located in all these different places? What is the systematic way? What is the system approach to handling that complexity?
Very, very cool. That's kind of the center of my jam, where I really like
Absolutely.
Okay, so what was next? What'd you do after that?
Once you have that, again, it comes down to how quickly can you convey that information? How do you take it to the next level? What did you miss out on? What else can be done with it? How to keep improving the solution? How to make it easier to use so that it's no longer as tech constrained. It is more user savvy. It is being provided to the users with the right experience. Because I may have the most evolved solution, if it is not easy to work with, it just falls off the rails. Nobody uses it going forward. They will move on. So it's always that is the next step and the final, or rather it should be the bow that keeps on building up as you are building your solution.
Sure. Oh, so how did your job evolve? What was the next job? What was the next role?
So as the next role, I did move on to, I've joined Hitachi Vantara Federal as a chief data scientist. And so that has been my journey so far. And working with data, working with different types of data. And because of the combination of infrastructure with analytics solutions, I get to see that more complete picture in terms of not just working with data, but what is that foundation that comes with it? What is the infrastructure that backs and provides that scale, that enterprise scale we need when we are working with data science solutions, able to work with that. And of course, the data management aspect of the solution that you have. Because in order for a solid solution that will continue to work over time, as the situation evolves, as the data, the normal conditions of the data changes, is the solution keeping pace with it? And what is the data management being done to keep that under control, keep a tab on it, and using it as part of an effective overall analytics solution?
With a robust catalog of courses offered on demand and industry-leading live online sessions throughout the year, the Dataversity Training Center is your launchpad for career success. Browse the complete catalog at training.dataversity.net and use code DVTALKS for 20% off your purchase.
Very cool. So would you say then, you know, as part of getting your role there, Hitachi Vantara Federal, as the chief data scientist, you know, you've entered the C-suite, you know, you know, what do you think helped you to win that position? Was it the PhD? Was it experience as a data architect and technical architect in addition to being a data scientist?
That's a very good question. I think it's a culmination of all those things, including my experience with software development. So knowing the processes that need to be involved when trying to develop a long performing solution as part of the implementation, having that background in software development, that comes into experience. As well as part of my PhD and my in the as I was in my previous roles working with data, that exposure to different solutions, different types of data, and working with the different federal government agencies, because each agency, again, it may be that they're working with the same types of data, but they all have different objectives and their different needs. And so having the opportunity to work with the different agencies, understand their varying needs, that helped build the skill set of being able to continue on and grow on to be a chief data scientist. All that knowledge comes together and helps deliver a good data science solution.
Oh, very nice. So tell me then, what's been your biggest lesson so far in your career?
The biggest lessons I would say is I'll go back to the clear and concise communication, keeping it simple, but getting your points across, understanding your audience, of course, because there will be folks who will be interested in the weeds. They want to know, how did you do that job? What was involved? What was the algorithm you used? What was the data? And what were the challenges with that data? If it took X days to complete a task, why did it take X days? So understanding those challenges, some folks will be interested in that. And some folks will be more like, tell me the high level. How did you get here? What was involved? And how can we repeat this without getting into the details? So doing that, I think that's been continuous learning this particular aspect of communication, because as I said, I come from my technical background of computer science education, and being a developer, anytime we would have our meetings, we'd be explaining everything, like why I did a certain part of the code, what is involved in it. So that kind of is hard to get rid of from the inherent nature, but again, trying to overcome it and be more effective in communication, I think that's continuously learning to get better at that. And of course, critical thinking, because if you come up with a solution, understanding that the assumptions and the constraints under which that solution applies or is relevant, that is equally important. Do not stand with your solution saying that it's applicable, irrespective, it's good, blah, blah, blah. Be aware of the constraints and assumptions and the next steps which can be done with your solution. It's your baby, of course, but be aware of the limitations and be open to suggestions and improvements that can be done to make it a more rock solid solution going forward.
Very, very good advice. I think for any career in any job. So tell me, having worked with data, you know, through your whole career, what is your definition of data?
My definition of data is it's raw, it's unprocessed, it should lead to information, and hope, and the right hope is that data beats emotion. I think this is a quote by somebody else. I'm forgetting who said this, but data beats emotions. So use it in the right way. Don't use data for your hidden objective or agenda, but going back to the critical thinking comes into play here. When you're working with data, use your critical thinking, data beats emotions, as I said, yes. And then the connections between the different data elements, that's data for me.
Very, very cool. Very, very precise. So do you see the importance then of data management and the number of jobs working with data increasing or decreasing over the next 10 years, and why?
It will continue to increase. It is the solid foundation of your data science solution. Just like you need the right infrastructure to have that backbone so that you can implement your solutions in the desired scale, the enterprise scale, which is required with the right security standards, with the right, you're compliant with your legal or any other types of regulatory compliance that is part of your solution. The infrastructure is required, but your data management comes right on par with it. so that you're keeping track of your data lineage and provenance. By lineage, I mean how has the, let me start with provenance. Provenance is where did the data originate? Lineage is once it's originated and you're using it at a certain point, what happened since the data originated? What were the transitions that happened? What were the transformations, the fusions that happened? And how is it being used downstream? And having the right automation across all this information is extremely important so that it is not manual in nature, because the moment it becomes manual in nature, there are biases which will creep in. There will be shortcuts taken. We want everybody wants to develop solutions. We all know how much developers love documentation. Nobody loves them. If anyone says that, no. So data management provides that much required documentation and the automation around that documentation of all your data assets, and so that somebody looking at developing data analytics or data science based solutions, they can trust the data which they are using for their experimentation and the deployment purposes.
I am right there with you. And it's so nice to hear that coming from somebody who is so ingrained in automation and in AI and machine learning and all. And so it's, and still hear that these data jobs are so important and will be increasing. And, you know, especially as, and so many companies are still transitioning to digital and transitioning and getting, starting to become aware of their data and that they need to start now. So
absolutely, absolutely. Key business is where you're taking all these documents, the physical hard copies of the documents, converting them into PDFs and other formats. So you're leveraging on those data as well. So there's a lot of work to be done, and there's a lot of automation and orchestration that needs to come along with it to get the required advantage from all that data out there, raw data out there.
Absolutely. Oh, which is, you know, why we wanted to do this podcast, to let people know, like, hey, this is a great industry to get into. This is a much needed skill set.
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah. So what advice then would you give to people who are looking to get into a career in data management?
That's very interesting. And something I would say is, there is a lot of noise out there. The field is constantly evolving. So every other day, there is a new thing out there, which becomes the hype, becomes the thing at the moment. So if you're able to stay in pace with it, well and good. But if you're not able to, don't let that become a discouraging factor. So, and in order to not let those things become your discouraging factor, is always pick your lane, know where you are trying to get at while keeping your options open. Simplest way, like I've always heard folks ask me, should I be doing Python or should I be learning R today? And it depends, which industry are you trying to get into? Because there are certain industries or even project teams where there is more R-based work. So that makes sense, you would use R. Or are you trying to do something where there is more Python packages available? Is that your domain? Then accordingly pick your lane and start growing in that lane. And if time permits, as and when time permits, gain an introduction at least to the other side, so that you have an exposure to the broad category of things while you have your swim lane where you're trying to get better over time. And as you're doing all this, all your work, build your portfolio. Have somewhere where which you can show to the next hiring manager, recruiter, and have that as the proof of experience, because that's extremely important. It can be a GitHub repo. Start putting everything in there. It can be a class project. It can be a miner's. You took an existing code and you were experimenting with it. Keep that, because again, it will help you in the long run. It has helped me in the long run, because Even next week, I'll forget what I was working today, and I'll be like, I've written a script about it. What did I write? What did I write about? And then I have a place to go back and look at. If I don't have it, then I'm reinventing the wheel, doing the research again. So not just to be able to show it to the next hiring manager, it helps you also in the long run, and keep learning. That's my key mantra, and I always go back message saying, keep learning. But pick your swim lane, please, and start getting an expert in that.
That is very, very, very good advice. Yeah, I really appreciate that advice. And it's one thing that, I've talked about a lot in this podcast as well, is just, that in the data people have this just core of curiosity, right? It's just built in, just that need to constantly learn more. And I agree, because it's evolving, things are changing so quickly. You just have love to keep up.
Absolutely, absolutely. And even the foundational skills, learning about the different algorithms out there, understanding the different metrics, and why you would use a method over the other to keep track of your accuracy and your performance, things of that nature. Having a tab on that, that's equally important. Not just the latest and the greatest, but the foundational skills are equally important to continuously brush up on and remain conversant, because you may not be using it day in, day out as part of your existing projects.
Very, very true. I used to work for Nordstrom, and we would always, if things got out of control and our sales were not looking great, we'd always go back to basics. Let's go back to basics. Are basics there? Are we, do we have everything there that we need? And then let's build up that business.
Absolutely. Very well said.
So, oh, Ryan, it's been such a pleasure to hear more of your story.
Likewise, I've enjoyed this discussion. Again, thank you for having me here.
Oh, thank you for being here. It's really impressive what you've done over your career and the curiosity that has led you to where you are. I mean, it's just congratulations.
Thank you so very much. Appreciate it.
And to all of our listeners out there, if you'd like to keep up to date in the latest in podcasts and in the latest in data management education, you can go to dataresidu.net/subscribe. Until next time, everybody, stay curious.
Thank you for listening to Dataversity Talks, a podcast brought to you by Dataversity. Subscribe to our newsletter for podcast updates and information about our free educational webinars at dataversity.net/subscribe.